The fifth Sunday after Epiphany, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, put on as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace indeed you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came to him and said, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? How then does it have weeds? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou have us go and gather them up? No, he said, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will say to the reapers, Gather up the weeds first and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord is explaining why evil is in the world. Oftentimes, people will come to me and ask, Father, why doesn't God just eliminate the really evil people? Sometimes we read something in the newspaper, or we hear in the internet or on TV about some evil action by someone, and they ask, "Well, why does God permit this to continue?" And here he is telling us why, in a larger sense, that if he were to remove the evil people and all evil in this world in general, then it will also damage those who are his people, or just in general, good in this world. So in particular, each of the weeds and the wheat. The wheat, of course, represents those people who are in sanctifying grace, who will ultimately go to heaven. Might be a detour into purgatory, but ultimately they are our Lord's. The weeds are those who aren't in sanctifying grace, who may actively or maybe not work against the kingdom of God. And he explains that if he were to pull out the weeds, that is those who are not members of his kingdom, he would damage those of us who were. And we can think about this in general, just as the two plants growing together in a field, wheat is a type of grass, and the roots would grow together. So if we try to pull out one, the other will come out with it. So when we think about our own lives, I knew my grandfather, but my great-grandfather and great-grandparents were just names. I really didn't know them. And then my great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, they're just names again. Not much is known about them. And as we go back in our ancestors, we don't know really anything about them at all. We go back 5 generations or 10 generations. Someone might even have a family tree, but again, those are just names. We don't know anything about that person's life, really. So one way to see this truth is to realize that if God destroyed, removed an evil person from this world, then would he have removed one of my ancestors? All of us. Every one of us. Sometime back in time, had some real scoundrel as an ancestor. And probably more than one scoundrel back there through the ages. And so if God were to remove these people, then would I exist? Would you exist? This is one way to understand this truth. It's just one way. Another way, it's a little broader way in which we can understand this, is to just think about evil in general. Maybe not moral evil, that is someone not in sanctifying grace, or I shouldn't say moral evil, just someone not in sanctifying grace, but other moral evils, or even what we call not even a moral evil, but just something lacking, something that should be there. So there can be a lack of something that is what we call like a material evil, but it's not something morally wrong. Or you can have something morally wrong. But this is also for us. And in particular, it's a little bit different than exactly what the parable is talking about, but it also helps us in this world. That is, if we look at the epistle, St. Paul is referring to various virtues that we're supposed to have with one another. Heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, you do also forgive. And above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. All virtues are practiced in reference to our neighbor, in reference to someone else. You know, sometimes when hearing confessions, I've been a priest 15 years, so I think I calculated I've heard something like 40,000 confessions now or something like that, maybe 50,000. Sometimes people will start confessing other people's sins. Say, no, tell me your sins. Oh, but he makes me so, or she makes me so mad when they do that. No, your sins, not the other person's sins. If we lived by ourselves, alone, there is no possibility to practice virtue, patience with another person, or charity, or forgiveness. All these virtues are in reference to another. And so, even if it's not an evil person, it's someone who is also a good Catholic, the fact is in this world there will be deficiencies. We have different persons and personalities and actions and tendencies. And these deficiencies are a type of evil, a material evil, not a moral evil sometimes. It's not a sin, it's just an imperfection. But even then, both of those, sins and imperfections, are opportunities for us to then grow and become more like Christ. And in this way, we can look at the field as being weeds and wheat. The weeds are those imperfections, both in ourselves and the others, that then, if they were to be torn out, then there would be no spiritual growth for ourselves. There would be no opportunity for patience. We wouldn't recognize our defects. You know, it's like I said earlier, you know, impatience. We wouldn't be impatient with anyone if there was nobody to be impatient with. And if we weren't impatient, then we wouldn't recognize that defect within ourselves that is based on pride, and then the need for that spiritual growth. And so this is a little bit of a wider understanding of this parable. This is why God permits these things to continue in the world. Why? So that His people, the wheat, would not be damaged, that we could grow and that we could be holy. Now, ultimately, the end of the world, the harvest will come. And as we are at the end of the world, it really sets our eternity. So the amount of virtue that we have, we'll put our place in heaven if we're in sanctifying grace, or if we're not in sanctifying grace, you know, it'll put our place in hell. And so it's important then to understand that God permits these difficulties, the weeds in our life. Why? So that if He pulled them out, we wouldn't really exist at all. I wouldn't exist. But then also, And in the other sense, the wider sense, he permits the weeds in my life and your life. Why? To help us to become holy, to help us to grow in virtue, to become more like him, to forgive as he has forgiven us. And as we become holier, then when we die, that's our place in heaven. So it is important for us to remember this. Nothing happens in this world. Nothing happens without God's knowledge and his consent. Any evil that happens, he might not will it, but he permits it. Why? So that a greater good can come from it. That is our holiness and our sanctification, for us to be more like him. And this is what he wants. It's the next world when he will separate the two. And at that time, then we will have our place as we lived our life in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.